Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to Ask T. Frank, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA with an amazing offer for new customers. You bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code KSN, bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. As I said, this is quarter number three. We're going to ask T. Frank. This is where we take your questions submitted to T. Frank about Penn State football, Penn State recruiting, or life in general. And if you want to submit a question, you could download our free app from the App Store and just search on Keystone Sports. At the end of the segment, we'll select the best question, and the winner will get the great KSN sweatshirt. T. Frank, are you ready?
I'm ready to go.
All right, let's start right out of the box. We're going to start hot with Joe from Ebensburg, who says, "Hey, Jim and Frank, what's up? Jim, do you remember when T. Frank was blasting the Penn State fan base for being disgruntled about the lack of a running game? Well, now with two horrible losses under their belt, I would say any flash of a running game would have gotten Penn State these wins. So my real question is, does T. Frank want to reassess the importance of a ground game?"
Who is this from again? Joe from where?
Joe from Ebensburg. Did he just eliminate himself from a chance of winning?
Well, first off, he called me Frank, so yeah, that's not my name, which I understand my name is confusing, and I know that this can be tough when you have two first names and no one knows your last name because you go by T. Frank, so I'll give you a pass on that one. I was not blasting the Penn State fan base for wanting a running game. What I was trying to point out is, if you want to play like Iowa and you want to play like Illinois, you will win and lose like Illinois and Iowa. Penn State is trying to win the big games, and their quarterback is injured. So they're, yes. The lack of being a complete offense is a problem. You're right. You're right to point that out. But Penn State had overcome that with the set of circumstances they were working with. Was it a house of cards? Sure, but it was the one they were dealt with, the transfer portal and CJ Thorpe not working out as a guard, graduation along the offensive line, bringing a new offensive line coach who didn't get to work with his guys last year. Nobody wants to hear any of these excuses. Everyone wants to just hear production and having it work. So yes, now that they have to win ugly, and that's what I talked about on my show this week on Monday, is Penn State cannot win ugly. They're not built to win ugly. They don't want to, from a staff perspective, run the ball and be ineffective and inefficient. In the second half, in the third quarter, they ran the ball twice, and they had an injured quarterback, and they knew that coming into the game. I agree that there are failings along the offensive line from a personnel standpoint and from a tactical standpoint. I have my opinions of what they should do to fix the run game. I think they need to simplify it a little bit. They did move Juice Scruggs to center and Mike Miranda to guard, back to where he played better as a player previously in the fourth quarter and overtime. Noah Kane averaged 5 yards a carry during that period and scored. One of the few times anyone got in the end zone in overtime was Noah Kane. So they're... it's too little too late in those situations, but the philosophical, this is the difference. It's the philosophical perspective of, we need a fullback. You don't need a fullback. You need to be bigger, faster, stronger than everybody else, and then it doesn't matter what you run up front because it's space and it's speed and it's power. They need to be better at those things, but if you're asking for the formula that these other teams are using, you're asking to lose to Purdue the week after you're number two in the nation. It's the same thing that Penn State's going through now. It just looks different. And the way that Penn State is constructed, they have a chance, if Sean Clifford is healthy enough to play his full game, and it's full Sean Clifford, they have an outside chance of going toe-to-toe with Ohio State. I haven't really looked into their defense to know if there's a Sean Wade out there that Jahan Dotson can pick on, But I know for a fact they've got the talent at the skill positions, and they've got pass blockers to make that system work. And then it comes down to the quarterback and whether you evaluated him right 5 years ago. And I think that it's been mixed results there. But that's the way to win big games. And that part hasn't changed. I'm not changing my stance on that. It's just, would you rather be better up front at running the football to be more balanced? Of course you would. But when you have to make these tough decisions of we can't, we don't have the players, we missed in some recruiting, we had some bad luck of guys didn't work out or they left, here are the decisions you have to make. And I think they've made the right ones. They were 5-1 and were on their way to 6-0 before they lost their quarterback. So a lot of this can be hindsight, but they're, you know, no one's wrong. It's just a difference of philosophy.
All right. Let's go back to back with Ebensburg. All right. This one is Art from Ebensburg. Kind of an interesting way he's attacking all this. This one's for both Jim and T. Frank. He did get it right.
Okay.
Do you notice a drop in audience engagements after a tough loss? Being honest, after a big win, I can't wait to get to the Keystone Kickoff Show. But after something like this Illinois loss, well, sorry, Jim. I guess I'm just wondering if there are others out there like me who might just take all of this a little too seriously and take a week off when there's such a bad loss. I could field this one if you want me to, T. Frank.
Sure. Yeah. Why don't you take this one and I'll add something afterwards.
Okay. Art, first of all, I feel exactly what you do. I always, when there's a win, rewatch the game. I watch that Big Ten in an hour, at Big Ten in 60. When there's a loss like this, I can't bring myself to do that. I'm sure there are some people who take the week off with the Keystone Kickoff Show, but I'll tell you what, there are a lot of others who need this as their outlet. They need T. Frank to explain why this happened. They also need it as a place to vent, and I can tell you, we got extra questions this week because of this game. Go ahead,
T. Frank. I've been told several times, be really good or really bad, don't be mediocre. So losing a historically bad game to Illinois, it does boost engagement, but I think that is short-lived. No one wants to really know how the sausage is made from that perspective. But so I do a Monday live show and we got a lot of questions. A lot of questions. So I think that after really bad games, you get the same thing. I don't know that after really good games, you get as much because people just are happy and they go off and drink. They just go downtown in State College and have a good time.
Well, what I sense is exactly what you did. Mediocre. Not much reaction. Really good, really bad, you get the reaction. So wins over Wisconsin to start the season, win over Auburn, great reaction.
The grief eaters come out after Illinois, and the guys that want to say, I told you so, and dunk on me, like Joe from Ebensburg. That's when you get those questions. I knew you were wrong the whole time.
Exactly. Let's go to Corey in Hanover, who says, early on, Penn State's offensive game plan seemed really conservative. It was obvious that Clifford was still dealing with the injury, and it felt like they were trying to avoid situations where he could take a hard hit. Assuming that's the case, what does that say about how the coaching staff feels about the rest of the quarterback room? The fact that they never even said, and this is Jim talking, they never said to themselves, gee, maybe we'd be better off with 100% Roberson than 50% Clifford.
Yeah. So again, this is my biggest criticism of this particular situation. And James Franklin talked about, they didn't know coming into the game whether they'd have Clifford or not, is how he phrased it, of his availability was up in the air the entire time. It was trending in the right direction. So did nothing from a schematic perspective, at least a drastically schematic perspective where we would see it. Six offensive linemen coming out in different formations, wildcat quarterback, and any of these things. They didn't do any of those things. They just ran the ball more. And then they abandoned that and put Sean Clifford in the same situation by those decisions. So that is my biggest problem is, I agree. There were no adjustments coming out of and they were the only people that had the knowledge, the actual information about Sean Clifford's availability. So that part mystified me of they wanted to be conservative and they just couldn't bring themselves to do it throughout the game. They couldn't play the Illinois game And one reason it wasn't working, and they had to do something to get their defense off the field when they had the ball. So I understand that, but they didn't really do anything from that perspective, and that would be my biggest criticism of the coaching, which is what everyone wants to blame this week, is coaching without any sort of specificity. And I don't know if they were planning on having both guys play and then Sean Clifford was available, so they had a very basic game plan. I think that's a very realistic possibility, that they didn't pull out their fastball because they didn't know if they'd have it. So you have to be a little more basic with what you're practicing that week. And if Penn State doesn't practice it, they're not going to run it. So it was a pretty paint-by-numbers sort of situation, I would say, from what they tried to do. And I do think that does give a nod to what Roberson's potential role would have been had they had Sean Clifford not been healthy.
Okay. And what the Penn State fan hears after what you said is Penn State wasn't prepared well enough.
I disagree with that, because that paints it as they were sitting on their butts eating donuts and not thinking about the situation. I would say they were conservative in their preparation. To say they're unprepared is very insulting for a coaching staff that does not see their family, that works 16 hours a day. And I'm not trying to defend them as people. I'm giving you the facts. Those guys work really hard. To say they're unprepared is wrong. To say they had maybe the wrong game plan or they were conservative with what they wanted to do, that is a fair thing to say. But I get kind of annoyed when I hear they're unprepared, because I know that is absolutely not the case. And it's an emotional reaction to what you feel is happening, not the reality.
I'm going to go off schedule here a little bit, and my apologies to the other questioners. Again, maybe I'm emotional as a Penn State fan, but what I'm hearing from what you did in describing this was Illinois was well prepared with a tremendous game plan on offense. They fooled Penn State's offense with their defense, and it just feels like they out-prepared Penn State. It was a bye week, and you had a team in Illinois who brings in players a lot less capable than what Penn State brings in. And I realize upsets happen, but this seems to have happened to Penn State many times over the year, you know, those losses to Michigan State over the years. And it comes after a bye week when they had a couple weeks to prepare. I apologize for hijacking Ask T. Frank there, but we need a winner, T. Frank.
You know what? I'm going to go as my only nod to there was validity in the run game conversation. Joe from Ebensburg, you're our winner this week.
Okay, Joe. We'll be getting in contact with you. That's it for quarter number three. Quarter number four, we'll have Dustin Schutte in here talking Big Ten. Stay tuned.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.